I'm Francine, host of Coping to Care, sponsored by Blue Sea Care, where we feature guests who share how you can achieve complete well-being. Today, we'd like to welcome Heidi Landis, New York licensed creative arts therapist, registered drama therapist, certified group psychotherapist, board certified trainer, and practitioner of psychodrama. Welcome, Heidi.
Thank you. It's so good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. We're excited to hear about everything that you do. As a psychotherapist, you use the creative arts to achieve therapeutic goals of self-expression, personal empowerment, and emotional and physical integration. Can you describe a little about what talk therapy, drama therapy, what these treatments?
Yeah, absolutely. So most people know about talk therapy, and they know how that works. The creative arts therapies, particularly drama therapy and psychodrama, which is what I do, is another way in. It's an idea that in order to really access all of the different experiences that we have, we need to be embodied. And so much of our lives we spend sort of cut off from experiencing things in our body because we need to, get a million things done, or we're walking, I'm walking down the streets of New York. I need to stay in my head a little bit. But the truth is that our experience, and particularly those of us who have experienced any kind of trauma, that lives in the body. And so drama therapy and psychodrama are methods and models that allow us to connect in new ways. So a lot of people don't even know what they are. They've never even heard of them before. So just a quick sort of overview about what these things are. So drama therapy is really the intentional use of using drama and theater processes to achieve therapeutic goals. But it's an embodied practice that's active and experiential. And it's a process that works through a person's imagination for integrating metaphor, story, and role play with theories and methodologies of psychotherapy. Psychodrama is really similar to that, but it is a model that tends to, and there's always exceptions to any rule, so I always like to say tends to, but it tends to work slightly more with personal story and bringing that to life. And drama therapy tends to work a little bit more metaphorical, which I know we're going to talk about a little bit later. So hopefully that gives an idea of what those things are.
Oh, very, very interesting. And you were saying that you use the imagination. So as an example, you'd say, pretend you're a flower and you're angry at whatever, or how do you do that?
Well, I mean, perhaps, but so much of it is working with this idea that we're always thinking and working in metaphor. And so metaphor gives us this opportunity to explore things a little bit safely. So sometimes it might be really hard for somebody to come into a room, whether it's in psychotherapy or in a group, and to just say like, well, this is what happened to me. But we oftentimes are able to use story and metaphor to create sort of a parallel process to that, to be able to have some safety, right? Because in trauma therapy, we talk a lot about this idea that there is a concept of the me and the not me. And when I play a character, right, or I try on the role of somebody else, it's not me, right? It's not me. I'm playing a character. But there's always a part of me in there. And so it gives us some breath to be able to sort of say like, huh, that character might do this or that character might do this. I mean, that's not me. If it were me, right? And obviously the hope is that eventually we bring that closer and closer together so that we can begin to internalize some of these things that we experience through the drama.
Ah, very interesting. This is fascinating. So you've explained a little bit about it already, but how do the psychodrama and the creative arts all work together to address emotional issues in innovative and unique ways? So maybe just expand upon what you just talked about.
Yeah, well, I think that there's a concept in drama therapy and in psychodrama, actually, that we like to think about as that we all come with a system of roles. And the more roles that we have access to in our lives, the healthier we are. So I am I'm a therapist, but I'm also a therapy client. I'm a teacher and I'm a student. I'm a nice person. Sometimes I'm not such a nice person, right? All of these roles I have access to in my life. But oftentimes when people come to therapy or they're feeling stuck in something, it's because they might be, we can frame it this way, they might be stuck in a role. Like, I am only the victim, or I'm only the bad kid, or I'm only the older adult who nobody needs anymore. Whatever it might be, right? We oftentimes feel that this is all we are. And so one of the core concepts between of these two modalities is that we have the opportunity to expand our role repertoire. And we can try on these roles without any consequences, right? But we can learn something when we step into those roles. So in a way, drama therapy challenges this idea, what we might call it role rigidity, or like, I'm stuck in this role, this is all I am. It challenges that, and it encourages the rehearsal of new life roles. Because if we rehearse them, then maybe we like them and maybe we want to bring them in. In addition, drama therapy also encourages a safe expression of feelings and experiences. And when we use that metaphorical framework, we have less chance of perhaps re-traumatizing, because we choose, the group with the leader chooses kind of how far or how close to that actual story we want to be. So, for example, I'm going to give an example, right? I was working with a group of women in a domestic violence shelter. And the story they created was a story about a group of bears who were living in the forest being chased by rabid butterflies. These were adults between the ages probably of 30 and 60, right? And their story was extremely metaphorical. Now, if you think about it, that story is probably, is absolutely their story. You know, I was caught in a situation that I thought was going to be beautiful, but actually ended up being quite dangerous. But in that moment, they couldn't talk about that because it was a new group. People come in and out, but we could explore the feelings and and what came up around that through this story. And then we would reflect on it, right? And some women were able to say, look, I can tell you this story is exactly like my life, right? And tell me why. And some women were able to say, you know what? Let me tell you something. That bear should not have gone into that forest. That bear should not do that, right? And some people were just like, no, that's a good story. But all of it helps somebody process where they're at, right? And then I think the most important thing about drama therapy and psychodrama and these embodied techniques is that it reconnects us with our imagination and therefore our capacity to envision a future, whatever that means. Without imagination, we can't go forward, at least I believe.
I totally agree too. Without the imagination, it's just like life would just not be as colorful and happy.
This idea that like you can't, like, if you think about it, if you think about something that you wanted to do in your life at one time, you had to imagine it before you could do it. So if you're a person who wanted to go to college, at some point you had to imagine yourself in college before you were able to do it. And so oftentimes, you know, life experiences or trauma takes away our ability to imagine because it's not safe. And so part of the work is of knowing that we are innately creative and imaginative beings, and that sometimes we just need to get back in touch with that.
That's wonderful. Now, so how can individuals discover ways to tell their own stories and express their feelings and achieve growth, actual growth, especially seniors when they're at a point where they say, oh, I can't change. And so how do you talk to them and help them discover?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think some of it goes back to this idea of role, that when we think about the theory behind role theory, part of that is not just that we want to have access to many roles, but that we also have the ability to retire roles if they no longer serve us. And that the role system that we could bring in is infinite. And so we are constantly growing, no matter how old you are, right? There is always opportunity for growth. And if we think about it in the terms of I can, there are still many roles that I haven't played yet that I would like to bring into my life. At any age, you can do that. And I talk about that with the seniors that I work with all the time. And also this idea that, you know what, this role, I have the power to retire this role. I no longer need it. I want to thank it. I want to make sure that, you know, you have served your purpose, right? Thank you for your service, but, you know, no longer needed, so that I can make space for something new. And I think that often is something that feels exciting to seniors. And also, I guess I'll say one more thing. J.L. Moreno, who is the founder of Psychodrama, has this great quote about what creativity and spontaneity in particular means. And a lot of times when we think about spontaneity, I don't know about you, but a lot of times people think like, oh, spontaneity, I have to think right off the top of my head, or I have to come up with something brilliant, or it's like without thinking. And people feel intimidated by that. Mm-hmm. But this definition that J.L. Moreno, again, he's the founder of Psychodrama, had actually was sort of life and practice changing for me. And I find most of the people that I work with really connect with it. His definition was that spontaneity is simply a new response to an old situation or an adequate response to a new situation. So a new response to an old situation or an adequate response to a new situation. And so when we think about it that way, you know, those of us who have, you know, who have experienced many life circumstances and are feeling stuck and like we're tired and we don't want to do anything, or we're tired and we don't feel like we can, right? Mm-hmm. Right. But if it's small, all it has to be is a new response. And that tiny response can change everything. And so when we work with creative arts, that helps us do that, right? We connect the imagination, we connect the idea of spontaneity being, it can be small, and that we see that those small changes can open up so many different ways of working and thinking and playing, connecting older adults, connecting anybody, but connecting older adults to a sense of play can shift everything.
Wonderful. Now, as we were talking about, you know, reinventing themselves and new responses to old situations, we find that a lot of seniors have lost self-esteem as it's become apparent that they can't do the things that they used to be, or do the things that they used to do, and they're not the same people that they used to be, and they're not as self-sufficient, they're not as energetic. So how do you help them get back to happiness and acceptance?
Right. I think it's an easy answer. Play. Play.
I like that.
And we think that play is for kids, but you know what? Play is for adults. And when we can get people back in touch, even if it's as simple as just from your chair, you don't even have to move, just moving your body a little bit. Mm-hmm. What changes, right? Playing theater games a little bit. Drama therapists use a lot of theater games, but we use them with intention, right? Mm-hmm. That there's a way of connecting with somebody else. Theater in itself, right? Drama therapy and psychodrama are both based on principles of theater. Theater in itself is relational. And so one of the ways that I believe that we connect people to play is by working with others and knowing that the group working, I love working in group. Group therapy is a modality that many drama therapists and psychodramatists work in because, again, theater is relational. But in those moments, we know that the group is its own therapeutic agent, right? It's not about what, brilliant exercises I might bring into the room. Like, I mean, hopefully I bring in some, but that's actually not what it's about. It's about how do I connect to this person, to this person, and let them interact with each other, which then oftentimes in a scene maybe creates some playfulness. And then we begin to connect with our imagination. Drama therapy, at least the way I work, comes from a strength-based position. So we're not looking at deficits. We're looking at what's already there. And we're looking at an ability to be able to restory. So we have our story And all of our stories are important, and our stories got us to where we are right now. But there's still many more stories to be told, and we have the power, right? This is that strength-based approach. We have the power to create new paths. And so oftentimes working with anybody, but particularly with older adults who sometimes feel like, well, my path is ending, right? I would challenge that. And I would say, maybe one of your paths are ending, but what about all of the ones that are beginning? What about the offshoots from this path? And how can you tell a new story, not getting rid of your previous stories, because those are important. Those brought you to this place. But how does that help you transform into a new story, and you get to write your own story. So much of the time people have written our stories for us. They've written it for us. And in drama therapy and psychodrama, we get to begin to write our own story.
That's wonderful.
Blue Sea Care provides comprehensive care management to seniors and their families. Services include complete physical care for seniors who want to maintain their independence and state of health. The caregiving is combined with Art to Wellness, a program which uses the therapeutic benefits of the arts to assist with cognitive care for seniors. You can learn more about Blue Sea Care's programs at www.blueseacare.com.
I've known some seniors because I've worked with seniors in the past, and I knew of this one wonderful senior. Her name was Defane Hammond, and she lived by herself till she was 100, and then she moved into independent living, then assisted living, and then nursing care. But she lived till she was 106, and she always took herself to a happy place. And I think that was the secret of her longevity. And she was a teacher for like 45 years, and she always reflected on the fact that there were like 14 kids that were named after her. So they had her namesake, Defane, which is, it's like Daphne, but it was different, Defane Hammond. So I'd never forget her because she was always just like sparkling. Her eyes would sparkle, and she would just go to that happy place. Yeah. And I think that helped so much.
Yeah.
Well, at Blue Sea Care, we build our Care Around Art to Wellness program, and we've been providing painting classes to our senior community, and it went online in March because of the COVID, and so we're amazed at how the seniors have adapted so nicely to the online classes, and they seem to really enjoy them and look forward to them. And so just so that you could help us be better at what we do, how do you incorporate creative arts therapies into your work and that of the colleagues you help?
Yeah. So I'm very lucky in that most of, 80% of all the work that I do is creative arts therapy, right? But I get to work and partner alongside teachers and therapists, mental health professionals, and teaching artists to help them connect with their own creativity and spontaneity so that then they can serve the people that they want to serve. Because I am a big believer in you must practice what you preach. There is no way that I can lead a creative arts therapy group or a creative arts therapy exercise if I myself am not engaging in that process. And so a lot of the work that I get to do is with people who are working with their own clients or members or whoever that they're working with to help them begin to get in touch with their own creativity, because then they're more present and open to somebody else. And it allows them to be able to kind of let go of sort of preconceived notions that this has to happen and this has to happen and this has to happen, and lets us be open to, when we're working with our clients or our residents, open to what's happening in the room. Because I believe that the best thing you can do as a creative arts therapist or somebody who is working creatively is to throw your plan out the window when necessary and meet what is happening in the room right now, right? So I might have a whole a whole plan on, you know, today we're going to have this art project and we're going to do this and we're going to focus on rainbows or we're going to whatever it is. But I walk into a room and that's not where the clients are. And so right. I create a whole group around, if there's energy around somebody holding a pen that they won't let go of, we can do the same thing around that pen. If I am open to my own creative process and am willing to meet that client where they're at. And so I think sometimes what's really hard for people is letting go of the plan and trusting their own creativity and spontaneity to be able to be in the moment with the people that we're working with.
That's wonderful. Now, there are some seniors, they're no longer the caregivers. Their children are grown, their grandchildren are out there, and they feel like they have no sense of purpose anymore. And some of the seniors I've worked with, they'll knit caps for newborns, or they'll do knitting to help others. So yeah. Are there things that you say to your clients, especially your senior clients, about how they can reinvent themselves and see that there is new purpose for them? They're just in the next phase.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a great quote, and I think this goes back to what we were talking about a little bit before, but there's a great quote by a man named W.H. Auden that says, human beings are by nature actors who cannot become something until they have first pretended to be it. And so offering people, wherever they are, an opportunity to step into a new role or a new story or use a metaphor allows us to find something new in ourselves. And again, it doesn't mean like you're throwing away anything that you've already done, but there's so much more. And so I think always coming from a strength-based perspective, always reminding people that being creative doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be a Broadway star or create a symphony, but it's just a way of being in the world that allows us to see new possibilities, particularly in times like we're in now, right? I know many people who feel extremely stuck, myself included. And it takes a lot of work and thought and creative play to be able to think about, you know, or imagine that we can get out of this situation. But when you're able to kind of enter into, in drama therapy, we often call, like, as we enter into a space, we call it a play space, so that we're aware that when we enter in, we are playing. And then when we enter art out, we're not. So we have there's some delineation around what is play so that people don't get confused. But, when we enter into that play space, anything can happen. And ultimately the goal is that when we enter into that play space, we maybe will find things about us, again, without consequence, right? We're not we're playing. We're not, you know, having to do this or speaking to this doctor or whatever. This is my chance that eventually, hopefully, right, that we begin to internalize that, right? That's the ultimate goal, that the play, the roles, the imagination, the metaphors, the new connections and relationships, that we begin to internalize that those things are possible and that they then can go outside of the therapeutic space. Because honestly, we don't want to keep that all in the therapeutic space. We want people to bring it out into the world. Otherwise, what's the point?
Right, right. So I was thinking as you were talking about, well, now that we're, you know, a lot of people are in quarantine, especially seniors, they can't go anywhere. How would they do something like with family members? Hey, I want to do a creative play. Let's pretend this or that. So you can do something like that over the phone, can't you?
Yeah. So I have been running all of my groups since March on Zoom.
Wow. Okay.
Is it 100% the same? No. But are we finding ways to be able to do that, right? And part of it is just, you know, a lot of people sort of think that drama therapy is role play. And I would challenge that, because although role play is part of it, it's actually a different kind of metaphorical process, right? And so some of it is knowing how to scaffold that story. So, you know, and for me, most of those things when I'm working with people, particularly on Zoom, you have to be much more kind of making, you know, connecting with people in different ways. What are the themes that are arising today? what's coming up? Is this group or is this family, are we feeling frustrated? Are we feeling exhausted of being in quarantine? Are we feeling hopeless? Are we feeling excited? Whatever it is. And using mm-hmm. what's in that room at that moment, that's how we begin to scaffold the scene, right? And depending on what clients need, if they need something more psychodramatic, then it's going to be closer to self. And if we need mm-hmm. to play more, we're gonna scoot that back a little bit and say, like, well, what other kinds of situations are they in where people feel frustrated, right? And an older adult may say, a kid who can't do his homework, right? And so perhaps we'll create that, and this older adult may be able to step into the role of a 12-year-old. What might that mm-hmm. be like? Memories might that bring? And when you connect, right? So drama therapy is embodied. And even if you're working with someone who can't move much, I can shift something about the way that I'm sitting to become, you can't see me right now, but if I'm, I can shift the way that I'm sitting to become, a 12-year-old is different than the age that I am. And then when I'm in that even slight body position, something else comes up. Now I'm 12. And what do I learn about my 12-year-old self or my previous 12-year-old self or this 12-year-old boy who acts out like I never did? How fun is that, right? But that all of that begins to connect the right side of the brain and our left side of our brain and our minds and our bodies, and brings more things to the forefront for us to work with and explore.
That's really interesting. Especially because a lot of seniors, they kind of grew up in the Depression era. So you're right. They don't want to use their imagination, or they probably never had the opportunity to. And here's like, oh, now here's your opportunity. You deserve to be able to do theater and drama and creative arts, because this is where you are now. And it's so wonderful to see people actually experiencing creativity for the first time. We have people in our senior classes who have never painted. Oh, I don't know how to paint. I've never done that. So I don't know if I should do this. And then their first painting is like a masterpiece. It's like, oh my gosh, did you know you had this in you? And said, no, I had no idea.
Yeah, that's amazing. And also, what I like to tell people is that it's in this case, when we're doing it in this way, it's not about the product. It's about the process. And so, right? So like it's oriented. It's not, I don't care. Maybe we'll do a show at the end, or maybe most drama therapists don't. There are some ways mm-hmm. that we do some therapeutic theater performances, but in general, it's about the process. And so mm-hmm. it is much more how I got those art materials and what it felt like to have that clay in my hands or the paint. That's what I'm interested in. And then there will be a product, and great. But some people get that product, and what's most therapeutic is to rip it up. Great. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter, because that was the process. And some people want to take that product and put it up on the wall and show mm-hmm. it to everybody and have a gallery viewing. Whatever, because it's about the process and that person's individual process.
Oh, that's a very good point. So it is about the process. Is it just like, going somewhere, and it's not about the, destination. It's about the journey there. So that's a good point. Thanks for mentioning that. Anything else you'd like to add? This has been really a lot of fun and actually very insightful. I really did not know all this, and I'm sure our audience did not know about all the drama therapy and creative arts either.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've touched on all of it, but I think maybe just this idea that imagination can become a visceral way of challenging our emotions in the here and now. And we can be anything. We can really be anything. And when we take on those roles, right? Like I might take on the role of a mayor in some sort of scene. Now I have no desire to be a mayor ever. But perhaps that connects me with my leadership qualities, and I learn something new about myself. And I think this idea that we never stop learning and growing from the time that we are, small till however old that we get to be. Mm-hmm. When I work with seniors, I want them to know that.
That's great.
So much wisdom. There's so much wisdom that can be shared with other people when you connect to that creative self.
Right. They they have a lot to give. So they need to realize that people want what they offer. So, you know, it's, I've talked to so many seniors that are, you know, I've got nothing. I have no purpose anymore, especially now. It's like, no, you know, you've got a background in chemistry. You've got a background as an engineer. Why don't you call up a kid or work with a school or something like that? Don't waste all that you have inside of you. Yeah. Do something for others. And it's going to make you feel good because it gives you a new purpose. And then, you know, us having to cook at home, you know, you could turn into being the master chef, you know, coming up with new recipes every day, because it's kind of gotten boring. And I'm just, like I was saying to you earlier, I need some new recipes, you know, because I'm having to cook. My husband cooks a couple times, but still, it's just like, you know, I'd love to become a master chef. And I think probably a lot of us out there are learning all sorts of new recipes you know, inventing ourselves.
Absolutely. That's the creative process, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess actually I will say one more thing, if that's okay, that I believe that creativity and anxiety are actually in direct correlation with each other. And so when we're talking about the fact that we all are basically in a pretty anxiety provoking situation right now, collectively, right? Yes. That this idea that if we think about what happens when we are anxious, right, that we shut down or we can't think or we get depressed or whatever, all those different fight, flight, freeze sort of things that happen when we're anxious. If you think about it, if we go with what we've been talking about during this time, that creativity allows us to connect with our imagination, it then allows us to imagine new possibilities. And I don't know about you, but when I'm in an anxious state, I often feel like this is it. I'm stuck in this. I can't ever think of anything like this. This is good. I'm going to be stuck here forever. This is what it is. But if I am able in those moments of high anxiety to connect with my creativity, which allows me to imagine something new, right? Allows me to think differently. Allows me to do something new in an old situation or something adequate in a new situation. Then I begin to say like, oh, wait a minute. Okay, maybe I'm not stuck here forever. Now, it might not make all the anxiety go away, but this idea that we have to, that we can be playing with anxiety and creativity, but in order to do that, you have to work the muscle of creativity. Because if you're not used to doing that when you're in that anxious place, then you can't access because you haven't practiced it. Creativity is a muscle just like any other muscle, and we need it forever. So
that's interesting. Do you find that, I'll try to wrap this up, but there's so many questions. Do you find that the male is less likely to use that creative process, or is it both female and male that are able to go to the imaginative place?
I have found no difference in who's able to, who's not to. And sometimes I get surprised, right? Sometimes adults are more creative than children. Sometimes children are more creative, you know, and I have found no difference. Okay. But I will say this work is not easy, and you do need to warm people up for it. You can't just jump in to a theater performance. That's not what it works, right? It's about warming up to your own creativity and spontaneity, because this is hard for so many people.
Right. Especially the shy introverts, I would think.
Yeah. Although sometimes the shy introverts do better because you have a role to play. It's not them, right? That's not me. I'm playing this role. That's not me, though. I'm shy. I'm shy, but I can play this character, right? So.
Right. Yes, I have a niece who is very shy, but she's been the star, you know, in every play in high school and in college. She was a singer, and she is very shy. So it is funny because when she's out on the stage, she's a totally different person. So I understand exactly what you mean. So to wrap up, I hear that you have a new website. Could you share with us your website address?
I do. It's getting there. My website address is Heidi Landis, HEIDILANDIS.org.
Oh, great. So people can go there to find more interesting information. And then I note that you've mentioned a couple quotes. So do you have a final quote that you want to talk about? Or you can repeat one of the ones that you mentioned earlier.
No, I have so many. I'm cheating. You told me one, but I have two, and because one flows into the other one, I can't help it.
Sure.
I use a lot in my work, actually, as ways to get in touch with people's creativity. But one is a quote by Clarissa Pinkola Estes, and she says, "I hope you will go out and let stories, that is life, happen to you, and that you will work with these stories. Water them with your blood and tears and your laughter till they bloom, till you yourself burst into bloom."
Wow, that's beautiful.
And I think that following that, in my cheating way of giving you a second one, is just a very simple quote by Henri Matisse that is, creativity takes courage. So I actually put them together because if you're going to go out, you need that courage to go out and let those stories happen to you.
Oh, wonderful. I love it. Just wonderful. Well, it's been so nice speaking with you. And thank you so much for sharing all your knowledge, or some of your knowledge, just a little hint of your knowledge. So,
Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks again. And we'll see you later. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.